go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, my name is Nick Kroll, and I feel strongly about Conan O'Brien's friend.
Not about being my friend, but about Conan O'Brien's friend.
Yes.
So I don't have a lot of friends,
yeah.
So I don't know which one you feel strongly about.
I'm going to go with Marty Short.
Okay.
I feel strongly about Marty Short.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey there, welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, joined today by my stalwart chums.
Hey.
Sonam Ossessian.
Hi.
And of course, Matt Gorley. You're a wunderkind, Gorley, I'll say that.
What? Where's that coming from?
Well, just that we babble and bibble. And then whenever I check out the podcast, you just do a very lovely job. You make it all happen.
Oh, thanks.
And I got to, you know, you're the secret sauce. I'm going to say that right now.
I'm not alone. There's Eduardo, there's Adam, there's Blay, there's Ruthie.
They really do nothing. You think about it. I mean, Eduardo actively works against the podcast.
That's true.
That's true.
I try to mute him every time.
Yeah. Eduardo, I mean, the number of times that Eduardo has actively tried to remove my voice from the podcast.
Yeah.
Is stunning.
Yeah, I mean, I can't let him fall on the sword. That comes from high up.
Okay.
Yeah. It comes from you.
The biggest note on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is less Conan.
Yeah.
We're hearing that a lot across the board. And that was always the note on Late Night with Conan O'Brien, Conan, and it's the Conan show starring Conan. Mm-hmm. Less Conan is what people wanted. And you got to give them what they want.
Yeah.
Now,
also, I think I add something too. Thank you so much.
Well, you do, Sona. You do, and
oh, God.
I was about to say you are a wonderful part of the podcast. I was going to say, and also, it's amazing that you can make it here because you have twin boys. You know, you're a working mom, and that's an incredible thing. But then there's part of me that wants to take that compliment away because you get so much help from your family.
Okay,
and I'm bitter about that.
Why are you bitter? Why are you bitter?
Yeah, how much
I was unattended as a child.
I can be here.
I roamed the forest.
No, okay. You did not roam a forest. You grew up in a suburban part of Boston.
Yes. Dark forests on every side.
No, I've been there.
The forests of Newton.
No.
West Boylston.
What the hell are you talking about?
The dark, frightening forests of Natick. Wellesley. I mean,
one knows what you're talking about except people from Boston. Yeah,
well,
you
I'm
act like
them
you were
happy.
Raised by the Blair Witch or something. You were pampered, and then you probably had it easy as a dad. Come on, give it to her.
Yeah.
No. There was there were six kids, two parents, both of them off doing their own thing, working hard. God bless them. But
and you had your grandma. Wasn't your grandma living with you and helping you out?
She was just telling us, watch out for those Protestants. They'll get you at school. I mean, she was from the Victorian area, literally.
Yeah.
So she was always trying to get my sisters to wear like a corset made of whalebone. You know, one of the things my grandmother would always say is, don't sit in wet grass or you'll get diarrhea.
What?
This is the kinds of things.
Wait a minute.
So, yeah.
Wait a minute.
No, I love my grandmother. Her name was Maudie. But I don't, you know.
I'm just curious on the logic of that. Is it that the wetness from the grass is seeping in and infecting?
There
the
is
body?
No logic.
Well, yeah, what are you doing? There's no logic here.
You know, I can't have shoes flipped upside down or it'll throw off my whole life. Like, that's what I've been told. Like,
by your
parents. If you store shoes, it can't be upside down. So I never put
shoes
up.
That's a superstition that you heard?
Yeah.
What other superstitions do you have in your family?
Oh, God, there's so many. You can't have any dirty dishes in the sink at the end of the day. They all have to be clean and put away.
Well, that's not a... That's
clearly
just, called,
just a manipulation.
Yeah, that's manipulating
you.
Well,
no, it means... Yeah. It just... There's anything... There's like... You're tying up loose ends. Like, you know, purse straps can't be in knots or shoes, laces can't be in knots.
Because it's a bad energy.
It's bad energy.
My family was like, don't touch the fire. It's hot.
Ugh.
Yeah, because you came from a long line of sensible folk.
Protestants.
But...
what does that mean? Mine people are not sensible?
Oh, come on, Sony. You know they're not. They're not sensible people, and neither are mine.
Yeah, I bet
don't
you
come,
don't sit
we
in,
don't come from sensible people.
You don't sit in wet grass, though, even today, probably, because you think you'll get diarrhea.
No.
There's a part of you that kind of believes it.
And when you do get diarrhea, do you think to yourself, did I sit in wet grass today?
And guess what? Every time I have. I went to a wet grass festival. I was on the toilet for 9 years after that.
I know that is the diarrhea festival.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know it by that name. Okay. It says it in parentheses underneath.
I see.
Wet grass festival, now serving diarrhea. Listen, providing diarrhea since 1908. No, I did not. There was not a lot of sense. I mean, I'm probably one of the people that my parents got to look after us kids while they were away was this woman. I think she was from Prince Edward Island, and she, you know, had rural customs and traditions. I said a word that wasn't even that bad, like crud, or what is this crud? She took me to the bathroom on the second floor of our house and took out a bar of Dial soap and washed my mouth out with soap.
Oh, boy.
And I don't think that's happened to anybody in my generation.
I had my mouth washed.
You had your mouth out?
My grandma washed my mouth.
Oh, she did.
What?
Okay, well then I give, it's
as
and you know what I remember
sounds.
Really clearly, like, this is a punishment that goes back 100 years. It's a Dickensian punishment. Yeah. I remember her. She's rubbing. No, listen. This is me.
You're
of course, everyone's laughing.
You're on camera, right?
I know I'm on camera. This is what happened.
Show me with both hands.
Here's the. Well, if you insist. So the soap. Here's the problem. How do you mime anything like getting your mouth washed out with soap?
Come on.
And not invoke the old
I think
ha-ha.
You hold it like this and just
no,
go
because
like
I'm telling you what she did. I'm pretty sure it was soap.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, what was this?
Now
lie,
it's just a repressed memory. That was no lady. No, anyway.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. I'm realizing all these things right now. Oh, my God. This took such a dark turn. Anyway, what I remember is, I don't know if you had the same experience, the soap bar was going vigorously in and out of my mouth. Imagine bar of soap. This is, I'm making this. This is not the dimensions of a cock.
It depends
then,
on the cock.
But what I remember is, everyone here is losing it. What I remember is the soap caking up on the back of my front teeth.
It's the punishment that keeps on punishing.
Yes,
you
because
can't get
you,
it out.
You taste it for days afterwards. And when I'd hiccup, a bubble would come out.
Yeah, yeah. And this isn't the days of, like, you know, ivory artisanal soaps. This is like Irish Spring.
That tastes really good.
I would have killed for Irish Spring.
Oh, me too.
There are little bits of beef and lamb in there. The Irish know how to make a soap, goddammit. No, I'm telling you that's how I grew up. And so I think sometimes I become angry, Sona, when I see how much you're getting all this great help from your parents.
You did come in a little angry today, and I think your way of releasing your anger is just to shit on me.
That's terrible.
It's been what you do. It's
no.
My job security. It's fine.
Listen,
I get it.
Your father has that amazing mustache, and he's taking such good care of your boys, as is your lovely mother.
My mom, yeah.
And you've got all these cousins, and everyone comes from the neighborhood, and they all hold the baby. You're yet to hold your own children.
I can't believe you begrudge us. She had twins. She's a working mom with twins and you're begrudging her getting help, you monster. Yeah,
exactly. I resent it.
Go get some soap. Let's wash this guy's mouth out.
I resent it. And please make sure it's Irish Spring.
And also get some cocks.
Yeah. Cock-shaped soap.
I remember it was cock-shaped for a short time.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yes, for a short time, Dial was making a dildo-shaped soap. It was a failed experiment. It was 1973.
No, because to they had Irish Swing.
Oh, well, then they switched to Irish Swing.
That's right.
Yeah, and then Irish Swing. I like to wash me mouth out every day. In and out and in and out with the old Irish cockaroo. All right. We got to get to
stupid.
This is stupid. And my apologies to people in the soap industry. anyone who's been triggered by their mouth being washed out with soap or filleting a soapy cock. Here we go. My guest today. Jesus, this is unairable.
How do we go into it?
How do we continue?
Now?
How do we continue? Actually, this will be just fine.
That's actually, you're right.
Yeah, it's
That's
not
perfect.
Like I'm talking to the Secretary of State right now.
Calgon, take me away.
My guest today is a hilarious comedian, actor, and writer who is the co-creator and voice of over 25 characters on the animated series Big Mouth, which just premiered its sixth season on Netflix. He also has a new stand-up special, Little Big Boy, also streaming on Netflix. Very excited he's with us today. I love this guy. Nick Kroll, welcome. Okay.
I feel strongly about Marty Short.
And guess what? If we contacted him right now, he would say, I really don't consider Conan a friend. I really don't. Marty, he's always so good at something that sounds like a compliment. And he goes like, one of the more recent ones is, Conan, I mean, you've done so incredibly well when you consider the talent you have.
The supercut, I did stumble on a supercut of him just roasting you on your show on YouTube. If I can just promote YouTube, if you want to go see clips online, YouTube is a great website to check.
And this is something you started a while ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a family business.
Yeah. The old family name was YouTubian.
Thank you for making me Armenian and not Jewish.
Well, yeah, I mean,
why'd you point to me?
Out of respect.
Out of respect for you and your Armenian heritage.
Thank you. Okay. That's very nice.
Yeah.
I thought if he was Armenian, you'd say his name was Nick Nickian because that's what you think Armenian names
no,
are.
No, no. I can't remember I love your husband, Tak, but instead of learning his last name, I always call him Tak Taksesian. And
oh, that's funny, though.
But I mean, it's
good. It's very fun. It's good wordplay.
I guess.
Yeah. It's very clever. It really is in my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad. I think of you as a friend. We've known each other for a while.
We have.
And you are unfailingly funny. Always funny.
Thank you.
You really are.
That's a weird, unfailingly funny it's one to navigate. It's a word you don't know exactly where you stand inside of
it. It's a put down.
Yeah, okay.
No, it is not a put down. When I'm around you, we've had meals together.
Yeah.
We have enjoyed each other's company. All those years you would come on late night.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking before the show about one of my favorite things ever that you did on the show, which is a specific kind of 1970s acting that involved a guy eating with no manners, throwing food into his mouth that also available on YouTube.
Yeah. Again, great website. 70s. I think my first late night appearance was on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And which was a great, was truly like, couldn't believe that I was on your show. Could not believe it.
Right.
And so
you fired your agent the next day.
I fired my agent. I fired my publicist and I left the business for 5 years. I reconnected with myself. But and then I looked in the mirror every day and I said, you are unfailingly funny.
Yeah.
I was confused every day when I heard the statement.
It's a good tongue twister too.
It is.
It's proof.
but truly it was. But we did, but then, so it's crazy to be on your show, but then to feel like we've had dinner. You said we've had dinners. We've had very intimate dinners together.
Yes, we have.
Just the two of us.
Yeah.
Alone in Manhattan Beach. Mm-hmm. 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 On the water. Mm-hmm. It was a seafood meal. Mm-hmm. But no, we have had dinners together, which is also, all those little things are very, been very important for me.
I want to say that there's been a couple of times where we've intentionally tried to get a bunch of funny people together. And you're always part of the equation. Other people come in and out. And I take that to mean that you're just available.
Yes, I am. I am always tech avail for Hanks. I'll drop anything. Family.
You're right there.
I am unfailingly available.
Unfailingly available. you know, so much to talk about here. You have a stand-up special, mm-hmm. That you've done, which is a new turn for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, so often I see you submerged in characters and voices, and mm-hmm. you're so good at it. And then to sort of be yourself up there talking is quite, I imagine, a different experience.
Yeah, I've always sort of done stand-up as a... sort of a side thing. Like I always had I always had a little bit of 15, 20 minutes of material, but it was always, and I did a special years and years ago, but even that special was sort of half characters and half stand up. And then I just burped and I tried to talk through it. And
let's play that again.
Can we hear that back? So it was always felt like a thing I did on the side. And then it was like, and I realized part of that was out of fear. Mm-hmm. I think because it's, you know, doing the, even like going and doing like 70s Eater on your show, it was like, oh, that feels like more versus me sort of getting up there and telling some story from my life. It was like, oh, this feels like more fun and different. So ultimately I wanted to do it and sort of be like, I can be a real like stand-up comedian on stage for an hour and do this. This is a pretty low bar. As I say it out loud, I'm like, I really just wanted to be on stage for an hour as myself and see if I could physically do that. But I did
it. I did a special where I ate 75 eggs for Netflix in 40 minutes, and it's coming out.
Is it?
Yeah.
Conan Han Luke?
Yeah. Exactly. Makes no sense.
Anyway, so I did that. And then it was great. It took a long time. I started before the pandemic and toured for a while. And then the pandemic happened. And if you guys haven't checked that out, you guys should check out the pandemic.
The pandemic is on tomorrow.
Yeah, the pandemic's on tomorrow.
Well, the COVID variants are coming on later in the week.
Yes.
But the original is on tomorrow.
The original's on tomorrow.
Who's very bitter about the variants, by the yes. way. Really like, hey, what the fuck? I was here. I'm the one that locked it all down. And now there's fucking variants. What did they come up with?
COVID is a New York Italian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, we all knew that.
I think we were all pretty clear about that.
Yeah.
And then life sort of, the fun of doing stand-up and the tricky thing is sort of allowing people in to being like, here's who I am, or here's the narrative I want to tell you. And so the lockdown happened and I got married and had a child and that sort of began to affect the material. And ultimately, so I shot it like almost 2 years after I thought it was going to. And now it's done. Feel good about it.
And so, that's right. And congratulations on a boy.
Yes. A masculine child.
May he be a masculine child. And a little over a year old, right?
Almost two, which is a little over a year.
But which is it? A little over a year or almost two?
Oh, let's call it almost two.
Okay. I don't think this child exists. You seem very vague on the facts.
He's, I guess he's sort of, people ask how tall he is. He's like sort of purple. Does that make sense?
It's clear you've had no child and you're just trying to use this.
No, it's got
for
hair.
For information.
It's got hair in all the parts. Uh-huh. Yeah, so
all of the parts?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
The TV in the middle of the stomach.
Ooh. No, you didn't have
you
a child.
You got a Teletubby, buddy.
Yeah, you got a Teletubby.
In fact, you got the gay one.
May he be a masculine gay child.
Oh, yeah. With a television screen in his stomach.
Yeah. But he's a good thing. whatever it is.
You know what
wonderful.
I'd like to do? I would like to do a stand-up special where I'm really opening up, but everything is a lie. And later, do you know what I mean? But yeah. I'm talking about being a grandfather for the first time. And I'm talking about it, and I'm really opening up, and I'm talking about my divorce, but I'm not divorced. I don't have grandchildren. Yeah. There's nothing.
Well, okay, it's a real emotional, like, I'd love the real... Like the one man show,
yes.
Conan one man
yeah.
show,
yeah. And then
where
I talk
lessons
about,
are learned.
Yeah, and then the part where people really get mad is when I start talking about how I was in Nam, and people are like, "Okay, fuck you, yeah. you were not in Vietnam." And I'm like, "No, no, no, I visited.
It was like
in 2006.
It was a good trip.
I stayed at a 5-star hotel.
Yeah.
People are just furious about it. Let's talk about Big Mouth because I love that show. Big Mouth is, and I particularly love how it's very funny and edgy, mm-hmm. but also there's a sensitivity there to what kids are really going through.
Mm-hmm.
And you work hard on that, right? You try and talk to specialists, educated people who can give you some information, but it doesn't get in the way of the comedy. It's not one of those after school specials where you feel everything's been compromised because of the message.
I'm not even getting paid that much by Google or YouTube, but I just, if you want to go to, you can go to check out. We went and talked to some kids on school. We went and did some sex education together.
That's right. You and I did.
Yeah.
I learned more than the kids.
Yeah.
I knew nothing.
But we do, I think.
Now, you and I did a remote where we went and talked to kids, and it was actually, there was some great moments in it.
There was
it.
A kid who looked so much like you. I don't know if you remember this, but
that
there was
me, you idiot.
There was a kid I was doing the bit with on, but there was like a child there who looked exactly like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a type. There's a type of child that looks a lot like me.
Like dead ass handsome.
Aww.
Yes.
You know?
Sort of like, shit, who shrunk Brad Pitt?
Okay.
Oh, it's a child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Minute,
oh, wait.
Sir.
Who shrunk Brad Pitt and then weirdly elongated him further
you mean
out again?
Benjamin Button, Brad? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. What? Any child that looks like me looks like they're 95 years old. And if you give them enough time, they grow into an incredibly handsome, handsome guy.
But we do take that. I think we take it seriously because I think ultimately, you know, I don't know if we realized it when we started. I think we started, we're like, we're going to make a show that feels like a sort of my friend Andrew Goldberg and I, based on our childhood. We're going to talk about puberty. We're going to talk about kids masturbating, all that stuff. But I think after the first season came out, we realized, oh, kids were going to actually watch the show,
mm-hmm.
Which we didn't really, we were making a show for us. And so as time has gone on, we've got much more sort of serious about how we write it, how we think about it emotionally, but also kind of be responsible with the facts and things that we're talking about, talking to kids. This season, you know, we have a character on this season played by Brian Tyree Henry, who people might know from Atlanta as Paperboy, or he's been mm-hmm. in a bunch of, he's such a good actor. Anyway, he's playing a kid who turns out to be asexual. And that was something that, like, the internet had, Twitter, people have been asking us about representation of that kind of character. And so if we're going to do that, we try to talk to sex educators, to people who identify as asexual, start to have those conversations so that when we're doing it, we're being somewhat as faithful to a real story as possible, while simultaneously not being preachy or too after school, especially because once, and you can feel it when you're pitching it out, you're like, oh, this feels like we'll outline something and you hear it out loud, like, oh, we're being too like sort of preachy or finger waggy about this. And if it's not funny, then the larger things that we're talking about won't work. And if we're just trying to be funny without thinking about what's actually emotionally happening with these characters, then it lacks the real like huge jokes that could be that we can find.
Yeah, that's, I mean, my philosophy has always been comedy should not instruct.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I've taken that too far.
Mm-hmm.
People know less after they watch any of my comedy.
Well,
I
find all of your motorcycle maintenance videos super useful.
Yeah. They're I wish I knew a little bit more about motorcycles before I did them.
Yeah.
I'm always telling people, put the pancake batter in this part of the motorcycle. And
Does that work, by the way? If you put pancake batter in a motorcycle engine, does it work?
Long tubular dough comes out of the exhaust.
That's where that fried
tastes
dough
not, it doesn't taste terrible. It's got some motor oil in there.
It doesn't quite taste like a state fair, but it's...
It's close enough. It works. Hey, if you're on the go and you want to have some fried dough in a tubular pipe shape, what better way than pouring batter
last
your
minute?
Engine?
Yeah, last minute large intestines for a costume.
Oh my God.
Sorry, very guys. Nice idea.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
Yes, the Pope of comedy has just blessed you. You may go now.
Oh, thank you.
Y'all never wash that hand.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
It is. We don't do this often, but I will reveal that today is Halloween. Tonight is Halloween. And this is going to be, if a child is less than two, they don't care about Halloween, do they?
No, he does not care about Halloween. He doesn't understand it, but we tried to put a costume on him and he knew somehow that he doesn't want to wear anything on his head. Your kid, they don't want to wear anything on their heads.
To put that, there has to be some sort of elastic keeping it on.
But
don't they have a choice?
Yeah, but then my kid is ripping it off. So that I knew he's limited interest, frankly. He likes blueberries.
Limited. That's specific.
Yeah.
Focus.
He loves them.
Yeah. Well, he probably just loves any antioxidant.
He loves antioxidants. He's a health nut.
Yeah.
He's an absolute.
I'm told that was my first word.
Yeah.
Antioxidants.
True, because I worried about cancerous cells.
As a young child.
In the early 60s.
Antioxidants.
Yeah. Is that how you spoke?
That's how I spoke as a child.
Weird.
Well, that's also me. It's me very young. It's also me very old as a very old woman.
And which is happening slowly? Or
I'm transitioning. I'm getting older and transitioning at the same time.
What a dream.
Yeah.
I will happily come back on the podcast at that point.
I'd love to be a cruel old woman someday.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
Right? I'm getting there.
Virtually there.
Yeah. I just want to I want to part my curtains and peer suspiciously out the window of my Victorian mansion.
Yes.
At young couples just doing completely normal things and go, we'll see about that. And then call the police. That's what I really dream of.
Calling the police regularly for small things.
Calling the police as an old Karen. Yeah. An old lady Karen.
I just like you in a big bed.
Yeah, I'm in a giant bed. And I have a long-suffering butler who takes care of me.
Who's yes, Mrs. Conan.
Did you see any youngsters outside this morning?
We will have the dogs out upon them, Mrs. Conan.
Good. Yes, I used to be Mr. Conan, but transitioned in my early 60s. Do you have a hard candy I could suck on?
Ew.
Be a good time. What are you talking about? Yeah. This is what it's all about. The only thing that calms me when I'm an old woman is a hard butterscotch to suck on.
Soothing.
Can't even take the plastic off of it. So melted in.
Yeah.
Come on, he's eating the plastic.
Yeah, but I call it the skin. Yeah. I like it with the skin.
Oh, God. Oh. What are you wearing in this bed?
No.
Oh, I'm wearing a tattered old wedding dress. A Miss Havisham Dickens wedding dress.
Oh.
Because he didn't show on the day.
Yeah. And then a Clippers hat.
pulled rakishly to the side.
Now I'm going to rap for y'all. My name is Conan, and I'm here to say no, what? Not that 80s rap, please. Oh,
this is Halloween.
Where did this go? Why are you rapping?
Well, because you put a Lakers hat on me, yeah. And then, I mean, a Clippers hat, and then it went on sideways, mm-hmm.
Else can you go?
Then you gotta go to rap.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's the scariest ghost story I've ever heard.
So that's what my kid's Halloween costume ended up being.
Really? Tattered wedding dress?
It's Mrs. Conan.
Yeah.
Old Mrs. Conan.
That's fantastic.
That was why I think the costume took a little work to get into.
It is funny how you're in that. There's this phase where you're doing things because it's supposed to be for the kid, but their full computer hasn't turned on yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know this too, Gorley, where it's
too much.
It's, you know, yay, you're going to sit on Santa's lap or happy mm-hmm. Hanukkah or...
Thank you, by the way.
Well, throw that
for
in there.
I appreciate that.
Is it Chanukah?
No, it's Hanukkah. You got it right.
Well, okay.
And is it Christmas? Or
it's Kodenheit.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas. The Jewish narc trying to pass.
So you say, I love that. I love the idea. A Jewish narc.
Yeah. Is Shmanty here? Merry Christmas. Another Christian boy. And you're not for your blood.
And now you're not sure about the traditions. Yeah. You're trying to light the tree on
we
fire.
We light all the candles on the tree on fire.
No, you don't do that.
And we don't control the media today. By the way, is Kanye coming on? Are you going to get him to come on?
Yeah. He's on right after you. He's outside. He's ready to come in.
Oh, my God.
I was thinking, oh, to be responsible, I should not buy Kanye stuff. And then I realized I've never bought Kanye stuff.
What?
I would never wear Kanye stuff.
You don't want to buy sweatshirts for the very depressed?
Exactly.
All of his sweatshirts are so like tattered and big. Like nobody, you don't wear that if you're in a good mood.
Right.
Okay.
You took us there.
Sorry I brought it down there. Should have stayed on Jewish stereotypes and Christmas.
It was good. But once Kanye comes up,
it's over.
The whole mood changes.
I know, it's wild. But anyway, so my kid won't wear a costume. And that's, so you normally wouldn't date this as a Halloween. You don't date it. You don't want people to know when this is, when this came, when this
well,
came.
Well, I'm
looking at our mm-hmm. producer here.
Mm-hmm. He's giving a thumbs up.
Yeah, and he's saying it's fine. Look, people, we can acknowledge that that things sometimes, I don't know when this is coming out. When's it coming out? November 7th. It's just a week later.
Yeah. People are still reeling from Halloween at this point, a week later.
Still got that Halloween candy out.
Right.
You know, some of that stuff you can have for a couple of months.
Some of that stuff you can really get, keep getting kids to come to your house.
Okay.
Yeah.
How so?
Okay.
What do you mean exactly?
Wait a minute.
Well, if you've got the candy out, then kids keep coming to the house.
I see.
Uh-huh. Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
But why?
Yeah.
What do you mean, why? Let's not ask why. Okay. It's good to have kids around.
Can we get Kanye in here and feel a little more comfortable?
When you're bringing Kanye in to lighten the mood, you know you have a problem.
You know, you got an A-plus bit.
I told you once that my brother Justin and I were in Boston, and he had his kids with him, and we just stopped in Boston Common. There was a playground there, and I'm leaning against this chain link fence with my brother, and it's, I don't know, December or something, and my brother's kids are playing in the playground, and I'm just hanging out. Yeah. And this guy came by, and no joke, just this Boston guy came by, and he's like, "Hey, Conan, you know," he's like, "Hey, Conan, you got a kid in that playground?" And I just said, "You better fucking hope so." Like, no, I just heard there was a playground here, and I wanted to kind of hang out. But it was like, what a weird question.
That's just the Boston version of saying you got a dog in this fight.
Yeah, but maybe it is.
You got a kid in this playground?
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Rye, New York, the tough streets of Rye, New York.
I'm from a rougher place than that. Brooklyn, Massachusetts.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where I cut my teeth.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. If you survive Brooklyn, Mass as a child,
you end up like you.
I end up like me. And John F. Kennedy.
Okay.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, he's from Brooklyn. Yeah. And I think someone who was in Aerosmith once? It gets all blurry after after John F. Kennedy, you kind of lose track.
And one of the guys from New Kids on the Block,
Joey,
which is more exciting than John F. Kennedy.
Frankly.
Wow. Yeah, I think it was Joey McIntyre.
Yeah, he lived not too far from
me. That's cool.
And I used to hope that the groupie, I remember there were groupies that hung around his house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember once a couple of them got bored waiting for Joey and they, like two of them came over and stood outside my house, but with no conviction at all. And they're like, yeah, someone said Conan lives here. We're going to go back and wait for Joey. And I'm like, well, if you want, I can sign something for you.
Yeah.
We're good. We're good. You look like you're transitioning into an old woman. So we're good. Yeah, that's a big deal. Big deal town I'm from.
I
don't know about Rye, New York. I don't know what's going on there.
It's a beautiful town. Barbara Bush went to my high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of.
So you got that.
So I got that going for me. I grew up there and I don't have any opinion. I don't know if I have any opinions on it.
Yeah, that's fine. That exposes you as sort of a soulless person. You're not really formed as a person. You know, you're a cipher. You can take on different characters and voices.
70s eater, but when left to my own devices.
Yeah, I say, you're from, where are you from? I don't know. Who am I? What is Rye?
Well, it's weird now. When you hit a certain age, you have a hometown, but you feel so far removed.
Like, yes.
I've been living in Los Angeles for 15 years, which feels insane to me that I've been in LA so much longer than I lived in New York. Or anywhere else in my life. I still don't know I can't go anywhere without GPS. I don't know how to get anywhere.
Did you, someone asked me the other day, because I first came to LA in 1985, and someone said, wait a minute, there was no GPS. What did you do? And I said, we had something called where I sound like.
No, I had to use that because I was born and raised here. Yeah.
So I remembered I had a Thomas guide, which was like this big kind of almost phone book thing. And I'd be on a phone, not a cell phone, but just a telephone. And someone would say, yeah, we're having a Super Bowl at my house. It's in, you know, Sherman Oaks. Oh, okay. That's in the Valley. Where are you? I'm at 325, you know, Westridge Lane. And I'd say, okay. And I'd write that down. And then I would look up in the back and would say Westridge Lane, Thousand Oaks, page 75, B7.
The grid, yeah.
And then it was a grid. And then you would drive. I had a 1977 Isuzu Opel that looked like I bought it, obviously used at the airport, and it looked like they had butchered meat in the back seat. And to her credit, I went to a wedding once, and my date for the wedding was Lisa Kudrow. This is when she was doing improv. And I was doing improv, and we were what we would call friends. And I said, hey, maybe you should do a sitcom named that someday, and I'd like a piece of it. Well, someone forgot my piece. Anyway, I drove her to this bar mitzvah in that car, and she got in the car, and I saw her physically blanch. It was such a terrible car. But then she was she got in and didn't say anything about it. And I know she thought, oh, he murdered someone in the back seat. And now we're going to a wedding.
To be fair, there was butchered meat in the back seat of your car.
It's not a bad place to keep butchered meat. Keep an eye on it. No one can steal it.
But it is crazy to think that you would go into Tom's car. You'd be like, okay, it's Sherman Oaks. It's A25, page 76. And then you would have to then find the route from where you were to then be like, all right, I guess I'll take the 10. But and then did you just hold it in? Because when I first came to LA, it was pre GPS. Would you like hold it in your lap?
You'd hold it in your lap, or you'd keep it sort of like, in the space between the two seats. Or I would keep mine often. I was hardly ever driving anybody. I was usually alone. So
because you had been butcher van.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was no chick magnet in my car. You would do that. And I remember very clearly the first time I got GPS, someone told me about it. And it was in a rental car I was using. And so I didn't know where my friend Greg Daniels was. And he said, I'm at this address, and I punched it in and I just followed the directions. I don't know what year this would be, but I followed the directions, and then it said, turn to your right. And then it said, your destination is on your left. And I turned to my left and Greg was standing right there. And I swear to God, I looked up and was like, Jesus is real. This is, I mean, it was such a profound, insane experience.
Yeah, it was like, it was probably like a tom-tom or one of those like things that you put on the car. Yes.
Yeah, and I was blown away that that was possible. And my kids, that's just the reality they know. They've had that their whole life.
You really don't ever learn how to go anywhere. I've largely, since I've lived in LA, there's been some version of GPS and I've like literally never learned how to drive anywhere in Los Angeles. I don't trust myself to drive anywhere.
Are you a good driver? A lot of New Yorkers are terrible drivers.
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine driver. I'm like not great. I'm not a guy. Yeah, I'm not. I've never been like, I don't know. I think it's weird when people are like, I'm a good driver. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're a good driver.
Yeah. It's like you're in the Indy 500.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Those guys are like, I speed a lot. That's what I feel like they're telling me. But I grew up driving. Since I was like six, I think I've been driving legally.
Six.
Legally. You're just.
Legally. You should be a pretty good driver.
I'm a pretty good driver. I mean, if it's like a tiny plastic car with a.
And if there's an adult pushing you behind slowly on a level surface, then you're a good driver.
I'm a pretty good driver if I can steer it. So that's it.
I want there to be a really long pause now, just because I think that's where we do our best work is during long pauses. I wish you were my enemy, Nick Kroll. Because
it's not too late.
Listen to me. Hear me out on this. Mm-hmm. Just think about this on the way over. You've got such a great last name for an enemy.
Kroll.
Yeah, because if you were always, if you were my nemesis and you were constantly doing things to me, getting me, I could go, Kroll.
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 I mean,
isn't that a great last name?
If you want, I can live across the street from old Mrs. Conan in a house.
And then I can peer out and go, Kroll.
Yeah. I'm just like a Jimmy Goldstein-esque character throwing massive parties, like weird, loud, DJed parties. I'm wearing like rhinestone cowboy outfits.
Uh-huh. That's what you would do.
It is truly. I saw him. I went to a Lakers game last night and saw. Do you guys know Jimmy Goldstein? James Goldstein. Uh-uh. He's one of the great looking men in the world. He's the guy at every basketball game who's wearing like a rhinestone cowboy.
I've seen him. I didn't know that was his name.
Yes, and he owns that crazy house, that super mid-century like lair. That's in, I don't know.
The Lautner house in Big Lebowski?
Yes. That's his house. Yeah. He owns that
and
house.
And what is his claim to fame other than having the coolest clothes?
He goes to like every basketball game and they all know him and like him. And he flies everywhere. He's at almost every game everywhere. Wow. Next time you're watching a basketball game, you'll see Jimmy
Goldstein. It'd be great if he had no money.
Yes.
It's just, I mean, none. And he was constantly scamming the money to get just in the door and to buy a few Rimwar rivets for his pants.
Well, that's why I want to be your old Mrs. Conan's nemesis, Kroll, who lives in what's a lavish, massive, loud parties, but he's always coming by to borrow money from you.
Conan the Barbarian used to yell about, who is it? There was a wit. Krom.
But there's a movie called Krull.
This Krull, K-R-U-L-L.
Right, but Conan the Barbarian goes, Krom!
Yeah.
And, Krull feels to me like that would work for me.
Krull. Yeah. I want to make sure it works for you, first off.
Well, your concern should be.
Yeah, I mean, here we are.
You know?
You need a friend.
Apparently, yes. If you think my closest friend is Marty Short and that you can go online and watch him destroy me in a supercut.
Yeah, would you ever do a follow-up podcast as Conan O'Brien needs an enemy and it's just me and you just interviewing
And it's you every time.
Yeah, it's me every time.
It's you every time and we're just, you'd be down with that,
That's
right, Gorley?
That's a great idea. That's a fantastic idea.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I am available. I am unfailingly
the whole
available.
Episode, you just tear into him.
Yeah, but
time.
Also reasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and reasons why you do think you'd make a great enemy, and just you know your long-standing hatred for me, and just all kinds of things you intend to do to me to take me down.
How would Kroll open that little script for the intro of the show?
Hi, my name is Nick Kroll, and I feel great about being Conan O'Brien's enemy. Here's why. Over the next 46 podcasts in the next year, you will hear I arrived at this moment. The mystery surviving the enemies that I have inside of Conan's universe.
I want to ask you about this this project. This blows my mind, and I love that this is happening, but you've directed a couple of sketches for this upcoming sketch series, History of the World Part 2,
yes.
Which I saw History of the World Part 1 as a movie when it came out. I think
It was 1981.
Yeah, 1981. So I was a teenager.
This is 4 years before moving to Los Angeles.
That's right.
Okay.
I would have been, 81. I would have been 17 years old when that movie came out. And I was, you know, huge, as I am to this day, huge Mel Brooks fan. And what amazes me, and I've had the opportunity to interview him a number of times, he is always funny, unfailingly funny.
Yes.
One of the few who I can say that about. And he is now, I think he's 96.
He's 96 years old.
And you're working with Mel Brooks on this project, which blows my mind. That's such a high honor.
It is a crazy thing. Like, I would say for me, I would say, you know, SNL, obviously, the Music Man episode from The Simpsons. And those are my biggest two influences. But truly, I mean, SNL, obviously big, but Mel Brooks, those movies, really for me, the Producers was my favorite movie from when I was like 13 for many, many, many years. But Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, History of the World Part 1 are hugely important to my comedy development. I've had a meeting with Mel at his office and he gave me a box of Raisinets and it was like the most amazing thing I've ever experienced. And, you know,
I love that. I wonder if that's,
I think he probably does it with everybody. I think
that's great.
But meeting him alone was truly incredible. And then I got a call being like, Mel wants to do History of the World Part 2. He'd like to do it with you. And me and Ike Barinholtz and Dave Stass and his writing partner and Wanda Sykes, and then an incredible group of writers and performers are doing a series for Hulu based off of, you know, using the movie as a template, which is like historical sketch.
Right.
And Mel narrates the show. And I got to work with him. I mean, I got to, you know, he's so sharp and so fun. He's still got bits. There's like jokes throughout the show that are pitches that he still has. It's really the craziest thing that for me,
right,
I think I've
right.
ever experienced.
I think, you know, Carl Reiner, Mel Brooks, Norman Lear, Bob Newhart, they're all these people that live, you know, well, Norman Lear is now 100. Mm-hmm. I think Carl Reiner almost made it to 100.
Mm-hmm.
What blows my mind is when I've had the opportunity to be around any of these people, they are the funniest people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I always had this fear, and I'll admit this is ageist, but it's something you worry about in comedy is, will you get less funny? Will your mind, will you be less amusing as you get older? Will you lose touch? And I think these guys are as funny as they've ever been. And I also believe it is part of why they're so sharp and they're around so long.
Yeah.
I think there's something about laughing every day and engaging with and being around people that make you laugh that's some secret to longevity that no one's cracked yet.
I think, I guess it's the ones who were humorless died younger, as we can say that now, right?
Yes.
So
anyone who died young had no sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, I'm Conan O'Brien with a terrible theory that's completely unproven. But James Dean, I didn't see a lot of people laughing.
By the way, genuinely not that funny.
Exactly. I keep watching Giant and I'm not laughing.
Although, have you seen the video of him and Paul Newman having a screen test?
Oh, was this part of the Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward documentary?
I don't know. I didn't see that, but it's okay. Worth, if again, there's a web, I'm not going to, you guys know the website to go to.
Most of the things you're plugging, you're only tangentially involved
with. But it is, you see the chemistry between Paul Newman and James Dean where you're like, they are going to straight up fuck on camera right now. It's crazy. Watch it. Anyway.
Oh. Yeah.
At any time of day, alone, probably.
Yeah.
So my point being that Mel Brooks is a legend.
Yeah.
Wow. I agree. I think that he stays sharp. When you see him, he's. I do think that continuing to have a sense of humor, finding people, and I think in the case of Mel and Carl, they were friends, you know, like they were friends for 70 years and got together three nights a week and watched movies. And that's, I mean, that is the dream. Like your dearest, most favorite people and friends in comedy in the world that you continue to get together and you continue to make each other laugh. And for me, being able to just have a moment. And he is still so funny. Like we did, it was over Zoom, but we did a read through of a bunch of sketches with the network and a bunch of people, and Mel was there. And at the end, he's like, I liked the songs and I liked some of the reads. I was like, he's still just funny and nagging every call, every time. And I just think he had an incredible palpable energy. I mean, it's also those guys, all those people that you named, I think we're all like, are all World War II vets.
They are. Yeah.
Which is crazy because you were in Vietnam, but you didn't. Did you serve?
I went to a hotel in Vietnam.
Okay. Okay.
I think now 2006.
Okay.
It was a layover.
Okay.
I was on my way to Aspen.
Okay.
It's a weird way to get to Aspen.
It was for the festival.
Yeah. And so I was wearing all ski stuff, really expensive, douchey ski stuff. And I just, I stepped off the plane and checked into a hotel. And then got right out again. But I thought that gave me the right to say, I was in them.
You don't know me.
They all went through real stuff and then also have seen. But Mel is also an example, as you were saying, of like when you go back and watch History of the World, part one, he's sort of very much, it felt, you know, to do a show about history right now is a tricky thing, a sketch show, comedically, of being like, how are we going to do this? But you realize on some level, Mel's style was always poking fun at the powerful and the rich and as like stupid and greedy, but it was he's never been very political.
Right.
So like, it was actually a very good template to start of like, how do we do all this right now? Where you're like sort of, you know, exposing like the real history, but also sort of never taking itself too seriously.
Yeah.
And Mel, when you go back and watch Mel's stuff, he's doing that so well.
I think it's important to remember, I got to interview in a long format Mel Brooks once, and he was telling me this story of he fought in World War II, and he was like on sentry duty, and he could hear the Germans across the river, and they were shouting insults at each other back and forth. And I'm talking, and you're thinking about, well, this is a, you know, famous Jewish American comedian, one of the greats of all time, who was there. He was the Nazis were on the other side of the river and he was in uniform. And you think about Norman Lear flying bomber missions. I mean, these guys were part of the most epic struggle against evil in the 20th century. And then also made some of the greatest comedy. I can't get over it.
Yeah.
And it makes me ashamed of myself.
Face off against Mel Brooks in an insult war.
Yeah.
Be like the V2 rocket, you know,
yeah,
they don't even know what they're up against.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's time you and I did something brave to defend our country.
Let's go to the Rhine River.
Let's go now. And we'll take one of those boats that floats slowly along the Rhine and serves delicious cheeses and wine. And say, Mel Brooks did it. And so I did it with Kroll.
Yeah.
Kroll and I, we went.
Well, I could be your enemy. I could be on one side of the river.
Oh, yeah.
And you could be on the
other.
You
could be having dry whites and I could be having richer reds. Yeah. That's where we disagree.
You assholes in Lorraine. I'm over here in Alsace.
Yeah.
Is that how they pronounce it? Did I pronounce it perfectly
I don't know.
German French?
I think it's fine.
It's done. It's fine. It's
we're
done.
We're going to get some calls now.
I know.
I love to say we get calls.
Yeah.
Why can't we just pretend we get calls?
We don't even have a phone.
Well, can't you just put in phone sound effects in the background sometimes?
Okay,
we're getting the calls are lighting up.
Yeah.
I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Just add calls to it, whatever you're going
to
do.
Hello, this is Hans from Alsace. I wanted to talk about first time, long time. I wanted to talk about.
Well, Hans, are you enjoying the show so far?
So far. Oh, it's okay. It's not my favorite episode. I listen to your podcast live every day. And you had Nick Kroll on today talking about Alsace. And
did Nick Kroll pronounce it correctly?
Yes, he did. But the Rhine River's not even close to Alsace or Lorraine. Just wanted to mark that out for you so you know. Anyway,
thank you for having these coasters here. I need
You've
something
played
to do.
With them
I
played the whole with, time.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what.
They match your watch.
They do. It does.
Yeah. You know what? Those are yours if you want them.
Whoa, really?
Whoa,
yeah.
Whoa.
No, and then we charge him.
Okay.
All right. It's like a robe at a hotel.
Saying those are yours, okay. It's a very fine line. It is a robe at a hotel.
It is weird that I do, when I come to do your podcast, that I have to leave a credit card for incidentals.
Yes. Yeah.
That is weird.
Those
but
$2,000 a piece.
Yeah.
So you know what we should start
these
doing?
Leather.
Is just for fun and for profit. But we have like a nice coffee machine in our offices and everything. Just, but then when people left, if their publicist got a little thing, it just said like, Nick had. We had a coffee, so that's $12.
Because Nick, we saw Nick had a Starbucks, and then there was the little Junior Mints.
Nick, so Nick used the bathroom.
Yeah,
so that's
and there's $7. Water. You know, it's a water crisis, and
there's also a resort fee and a convenience charge for coming in the building.
There's a service charge. Yeah. There's a mic charge. There's the mic charge, and then
Conan made eye contact with you, so
that's another.
So we owe
extra.
You money. Yeah, so, yeah.
You get $6,000.
You've got some
in
credit.
Cash. I think we've covered it all. I mean, we've done it all, like Bogan Bacall. You know.
Is that a thing?
I just said it. I like things
that rhyme. It sounded real.
Yeah. They did it all, like Bogey and Bacall.
Were they a thing like Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy?
There were differences, I suppose. But
basically the same person, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
As I understand old movies.
They were black and white in real life.
Yeah.
And they talk like this, see? I'm going to kiss you. Yeah, you're going to kiss me right now. Yeah. And you're going to have sex, see? Yeah, sex. Yeah. That's how everyone... That was pillow talk in the 1930s.
If you want to get a little taste of that, go see Paul Newman and James Dean.
Yeah. You think there was a sexual chemistry
I'm
there?
I'm telling you, there is vibe. Watch that clip. There is a vibe.
I'll tell you this, and it comes out in the documentary, that tragic, but James Dean was getting all the parts.
Paul Newman cut a wire under his car.
Paul Newman was the perennial also-ran.
Oh.
And then the moment that James Dean died, Paul Newman starts getting the roles.
Oh, wow.
So that was one of those. Well, no, he wasn't Wile E. Coyote.
Interesting.
switching the signs around to catch
Newman's
the
own anvils.
James Dean, famously killed by an anvil. They hit him seconds before he crashed.
Yeah. But all proceeds still go to charity.
Yeah. I love that. Newman's own rocket shoes. All proceeds go to charity. Kids playing in a camp. Yay. Thank you, Mr. Newman.
Newman's own bat suit.
Yeah. Just the crime scene at the James Dean's crash. Oh, there's salad dressing all over the road.
Oh,
a guy leaning over and putting his finger in it and tasting it.
Yeah.
That's a vinaigrette. Mm. That's a Newman's own vinaigrette.
Popcorn in the tailpipe.
Okay, all right. Listen, you know what I mean? What you've done basically now is you've accused Paul Newman of murdering James Dean. And I won't have it. Not on this podcast, not on any podcast.
I can't do it on any other podcast.
Any of the murder ones would love it.
All right. Well, what about Conan Needs an Enemy? Can we cover that?
Yeah.
Episode 32.
Yes. Crow.
We're back at the observatory where there's a statue of James Dean.
Uh-huh.
I just do very LA specific jokes for you guys. That's the way to end, right? On that joke?
I think so. If you're ever going to get out, I think that's the one. That's always get out on something kind of okay.
Can I talk about, just quickly promote the movie Get Out?
Yeah.
It's a great movie. Jordan Peele made it.
Yeah, about 7 years ago.
Eight, 9 years. A game-changing film.
Hey, quick, can I get a plug out there for penicillin? invented by Fleming in the early 40s.
Ian Fleming.
Yeah. But no, really, it's fantastic. Wonder drug.
Yeah, wonder.
And overused. Overused. Yes. And now, of course, we see antibiotic resistance. And that's where you want to get out.
That's where you want to get out.
This is where you get out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Can you put huge laughs on antibiotic resistance now?
No.
Oh,
sorry, I can't.
How about crickets? Crickets like, out?
No, I'm part of the podcast Brotherhood of Producers. I'm not allowed to do
that. No?
No. You can't fake an ending. Are you kidding?
And that's where we got antibiotic resistance.
So a lot of wind is coming in?
Yeah, I jumped up. I had my Newman's Own bat suit on and I jumped off a cliff to catch the Roadrunner. All right. Well, sir, you are a delight.
Thank you.
Time with you is not time wasted.
The new unfailingly.
You started out as unfailingly funny.
Time with you is not time unwasted.
Unwasted time is not time with you.
Yeah.
Nick Kroll, I love you, and you are absolutely hilarious.
I love you.
And this was great.
I appreciate it, and I'm very tickled to be on this program.
We did it.
My mind has been blown recently.
Why?
I'll tell you. That's the beauty of this format.
So glad I asked. You wouldn't have done anything.
No, you know what? Had you not asked,
yeah,
I'd be unable to say.
Yeah.
So thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Sorry I asked.
I was walking down the street in my neighborhood, and I know that you've all seen these, or I think a lot of you have seen these, and I've seen them out of the corner of my eye when I'm driving, but this is the first time I've been on foot, and this little cart came skittering by. It's a robotic delivery system.
Oh, yeah.
And it said Coco on the side, which, by the way, is copyright infringement.
Oh,
I'm going to fucking take that little robot to court. I want to take not the company. I want to take the robot to court. I want to see the robot being sworn in a deposition.
Does it have a little robot arm?
Yeah, it has a little robot arm. And it's probably, and you know what I love is whatever it was carrying. So it was taking some almond milk to somebody's house, some almond milk and some yogurt to someone's house. And then it got detained and was sued. And it's in court with me. And that stuff is starting to rot.
Oh,
and you can smell it in the room. And it's like, not guilty. But anyway, this little cart went skittering by. Like, and it's amazing because it avoided me. I think because it's not a fan. That's not a program.
Oh.
I think it just, you know, it was...
It's not programmed to dislike you. It just automatically dislikes you.
No. It just, it's like, you know, oh, if it was, you know, Sean Hayes, I'd be like, you know, it'd follow me along.
Right.
It's a big Smartless fan, but he just saw me and was sort of skittered away. But no, it stopped for the, waited for the traffic light, and then it crossed. And a couple of things. First of all, I had this crazy, my first reaction was I wanted to like kick at it.
Oh,
I don't know why.
No. I get that.
But you know what I mean? It's this little thing. And I think if I was a teenager and I had a stick, there's no way I wouldn't be swatting that
thing. Yeah. You too. Yeah. You got evil looks in your eyes.
Yeah. You don't feel that.
No, I honestly would feel like I want to help it.
Oh,
and I'm not trying to
white knight
myself.
I believe you. And I do think you're a better person than me. I'm not saying I would do it. I'm just saying there's some part of me that when I see this little guy, it's a little bin. It's like a tiny little, looks like a little ice cooler on wheels. It says Coco on the side. It's going, it doesn't make that sound. But
yeah, I know. It doesn't make that sound.
But in my mind, it does. Or they should make that sound.
Oh.
To warn people that they're coming. That should be the sound.
It doesn't make any sound?
I don't think it really makes a sound. Huh. But I think it should say. And it skitters along. There's a part of me that wants to kick at it. But then there was another part of me that thought, wait a minute. You know, Sona, of course, you've been very busy. You have twin boys, beautiful boys. You're very busy with them, and you're also busy, of course, with your own projects, sort of.
I don't like how you said that all, like,
no,
laughing.
No. I'm not laughing. I'm just saying.
You giggled a little bit.
I didn't giggle. Yeah. It was more like you have these projects that are sort of built,
Yeah,
off.
He hesitated.
No. Yeah. Built, whatever. Built off my back. You're standing on my shoulders.
That's true.
You're standing on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah.
Or a giant, I suppose. Yeah. Anyway.
Just physically.
Please.
But no. Mentally.
Anyway, you've got this book. So you've got a lot going on. And so David Hopping has been filling in for you, and he's sort of does the day-to-day stuff.
He does.
You help a lot. You still do a lot. You still intervene a lot.
Intervene?
You intervene occasionally. You've held several interventions from me.
Are you trying to be nice? Or what are you doing right now?
No. What I'm saying is that David Hopping, we're taking a long road to get to David Hopping, is now the assistant.
Yeah, he is.
And does a lot of day-to-day things. And I thought, what if I replace David with one of these little robots?
A little Coco?
Yes, because David, I mean, he's not expensive, but it's still not cheap, you know? I mean, it costs something. It has to be above minimum wage.
Right. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, legally.
Well, slightly above.
You have no idea what you pay anybody.
I have no idea.
Rob you.
Yeah. It's a huge, I realized that I just put cash out in a big bowl and I say, everyone take what you need.
Yeah.
And the bowl's constantly running out and I just keep filling it.
I get a daily visit from Coco just full of cash.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Coco. How are you? He has no idea. No, it's more like he has no idea. Anywho, my point is, what if I replace David Hopping with one of these little robots.
And Big Coco and Little Coco.
Yes, then it's Conan and his little pal, Robotic Coco. Because most of the things I have David do, let's be honest, are, could you get me an iced coffee before the podcast? Little Coco goes and gets the iced coffee right. and then yeah. comes back. Makes the reverse sound. And then, you know, okay, Sony, you know that my needs aren't great. Every now and then he needs to go to the drugstore to get me some Lipitor.
Yeah, to get your prescription.
Keep that cholesterol low.
Why do you say that sexually?
You know what I mean? Keep that cholesterol low.
Just both the literal meaning and talk. Your delivery.
You know, it's just funny because my wife doesn't find it sexy. I was convinced. I come into the bedroom at night and said, just took my Lipitor. And then I say, to keep that cholesterol. And then I drop my silk robe.
Oh, God.
No, but I'm fully clothed.
That's a net loss.
I'm fully clothed underneath.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wear a silk robe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like someone that goes to the barber. I have a robe over me, and then I drop it, and then I'm wearing a three-piece suit, and I climb into bed, and I leave the shoes on. So I'm very chaste. But my point is, what do you think?
What do I think about you replacing David?
Yes, David will find other work.
We're getting rid of David completely in this scenario, and you're replacing him with a robot.
Yeah, hey, is David out there? Can David come in?
David,
get in here. What if Coco comes in?
Are you going to fire him now?
No, I'm not going to fire him. I'm going to let him go with the severance. David, come on in and sit here for a second.
Don't come in. Run away.
Yeah, you should. You should.
Get up to the mic, please. Have you been with me when we've seen one of those little Coco wagons go by?
No.
The delivery wagons? Have you seen them yourself? The little...
Yeah.
It looks like a little ice chest or something, a little bin, a little container on wheels, and it sort of goes... And it goes along the street carrying its goods?
Okay.
No, but have you seen them?
Yeah, I have.
Oh.
I'm nervous where this is going.
No. I'm just saying that I like you. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
But I'm thinking of replacing you with one of those.
Like firing me?
Well, I'm not firing you.
What about Jeff?
Hold on a second. What about Jeff? Jeff Ross doesn't come into this. This is just about me and you, okay? What I'm telling you is I'm not firing you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a six-week period where you still get paid and then you're no longer paid and you don't work for me.
So that's not firing?
Yeah, that's firing.
Everyone has their own definition. No, that's not, I call that a quietly putting you to sleep.
Wait.
You're killing me?
So, anyway, then don't you think most of the tasks I have you do, can you go get me some coffee? Can you do this? That little robot that we all see wandering the streets of L.A., it could do those things, couldn't it?
I think you're needier than you think you are.
Yes.
It can't fulfill, it can't bolster your ego.
Wait a minute, they don't bolster my ego?
No.
They don't tell me, that was a really funny podcast?
No.
They don't say, great job, boss?
No.
They don't say, you're the funniest of all time?
No.
None of us say that.
I know, we don't say that.
I might have a solution for this. David, if you could just adopt the sound, maybe that would satisfy all people. So try that out.
That was awful.
That was really bad.
You sound like a turkey with a mouthful of salt.
What if a really
dry mouth turkey. You sound like a turkey on the witness stand. It's got cotton mouth.
What if we just hired the robot to assist me in assisting someone and assisting you?
Hey! A third assistant.
Okay, I'm with this idea.
Okay.
So that you still keep your job.
Great.
Sona keeps her job. Everyone keeps their job, but the robot assists you. I have one request. We need to figure out a way that the robot can say, you're the best talk show host of all time.
We could do that.
Killer podcast last night. God, you look young.
Oh,
love that robe.
Boy, you look fuckable.
Is this what you want?
God.
An assistant?
Wait, you want the robot
to say
you look fuckable?
I was online and they say you have big dick energy.
Oh, no.
Look at that ass. You've got an ass for days. Okay, this took a turn. Forget those other ones. Yeah. Although I do want the BDE. You're good with your hands and kind of crafty. Do you think there's a way we could program
We could do a little recording, and then every time it senses you, it would just say that anytime you entered its field of vision.
Right.
Right.
And we could probably keep adding stuff to it.
Absolutely.
You just seem to get younger.
Yes. Yes.
Your older comedy is better than your younger comedy.
Oh.
You're more relevant than ever.
I was just talking to some 18-year-olds. Oh. They say that you are cooler than...
You can't think of a new person. You cannot even think of a new person. You hit a roadblock.
Rami Malek.
Okay.
Rami Malek.
You are cooler than Rami Malek.
You couldn't think of one. It took you forever.
You're better than The Weeknd.
That works.
Yeah, that works.
At music.
You ruined it there.
Okay. I seriously do want you to look into us getting one of those... Okay. Robot
yeah,
carts,
into,
and
yeah.
then we can make some tape messages, and let's try it out as
let's look into it.
As the third assistant, okay?
Perfect.
Into
and
it.
Ordered.
Very yeah. good.
Order. We looked into it.
All right, we did it.
Conan O'Brien needs a friend. With Conan O'Brien, Sona Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Joanna Solitaroff, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering by Will Beckton. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.